Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but we'll warn you, you'll have to pry it from our cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it. One shot at a time.
Second Amendment Tuesdays with Attorney Penny Dean continues here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse. Yes, I know it's Wednesday, Penny, but that's okay. That's just how things work with our crazy schedules this week.
Isn't it the craziest thing? I know. And usually I really am able to move my world around, and this week everyone said, nope, you're just going to all do as we say, and you'll like it.
That's all right. Well, I don't want to get you in trouble with anybody where it matters, but we were talking with about House Bill 330, which the House Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee has taken up and doing a work session on it. Actually, they already did their work session. They're meeting in their executive session right now on this thing. So what are some of the other amendments? Because you made a point in the last segment. It is incredibly frustrating, and for somebody like me even more so, that you don't see the amendments of these things until way too late. The only thing that's posted on the legislature's website is the original bill, and nothing has been updated since.
There should be a law, a committee rule, or a policy that within 24 hours or some other reasonable period of time of an amendment being adopted by a subcommittee or other group, okay, where it's actually going to be, you know, it's not in thrown in the air, but it's in play and it's going to, in theory, go forward or die, It should be posted on the website. Because how can, you know, I'm super interested and active in this stuff, and if you're not someone who's on the ball every minute, you can't even figure out what the, you know, who's on first.
Right, exactly, because I'll look, for example, on the docket of House Bill 330, and it'll say, you know, like for today it says executive session. Well, next week it could say, majority adopt with amendment. Well, we don't know what the amendment is. You have the amendment in your hand. We talked about this adopting of the federal 18, or the federal rule, and then we also talked about imposing an age limit of 18 years or over on the possession of firearms.
And that's exactly right. And this particular says, notwithstanding any provision of law to the contrary, no person who is 18 years of age or older shall be guilty of an offense for carrying a firearm openly or concealed, da-da-da-da-da. So what about kids that go hunting? And when I say kids, I'm talking 15, 16, 17, 18. What about your rifles? I can tell you that the thing that we have is our youth, okay? We need to promote the shooting sport to our youth. And think about it. If you had a couple 16-year-old kids, wouldn't you let them take their 22 to the range by themselves and go target shooting if they were responsible?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Who wouldn't? 17 years old. You know, What about hunting? What about everything you get? And
if they can drive a motor vehicle, that kind of a deadly weapon at any time of the year, and if they're responsible enough to lock it up in their vehicle, which I know they would be,
yep.
And yes, they would be permitted to take it from the house and go to the range and do its thing and then come right back home with it, not go off to a friend's house later on and, you know, God knows what could happen.
and I'll tell you the thing, what this bill primarily does is repeal and reenact RSA 159-4. And if you look at 159-4 right now, it's pretty simple, okay? If you look at it, it's a paragraph, right? It's now about four paragraphs of really bad words. And it's the KISS principle that's been totally violated here. Paragraph 2 of the proposed HB 330 says, the provisions of paragraph 1 shall not constitute a bar to prosecution for any of the following offenses. 159-3, relative to convicted felons. Right now you can prosecute convicted felons. You don't have to make another statute big and muddled to tell them that, okay? And they list this whole group of statutes that you can still prosecute people under. Well, you don't need to put them in here. You can still prosecute them. They got a law in point. You know, 159-3, 159-19, 2077, 215A20, 215C35, I could go on and on, okay? Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is there's no reason to put them in there. But more importantly, a lot of people don't know that under New Hampshire law, do you know what type of felons cannot be prosecuted under New Hampshire law?
Uh-uh.
RSA 159-3 shall not apply to marshals, sheriffs, policemen or other duly appointed peace and other law enforcement officers, or bailiffs and court officers responsible for court security, nor to the regular and ordinary transportation of pistols, of revolvers, or revolvers and merchandise, nor to members of the Armed Services of the United States when on duty, nor to the National Guard when on duty, nor to organizations, and it goes on and on and on. So let me ask you this. I've had a policeman say to me, well, you can't be a felon and be a policeman. Well, you can't be a felon and be a bailiff. I said, then great, we should get rid of this exception to felon law enforcement officers being prosecuted, right?
Right.
It shouldn't be a problem, because if it's not applicable, because no one who's a felon can be one of these people, you shouldn't have a problem getting rid of the statute.
There you go.
Right? But the bottom line is there are those that kick and scream over that. But more importantly, do you think certain classes of felons should be exempted from prosecution under state law?
Absolutely not.
That's exactly right. And what I call the bad law remains in effect here.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's kind of a difficult picture to follow, a difficult picture to paint, and yet let alone follow.
Well, here's what's worse, and this is where, remember the health care bill where we had to pass it and then we could read it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's the same with HB 330, and they trick you in here. They say any unlawful acts prohibited by 18 U.S.C. 922. Have you ever looked at 18 U.S.C. 922?
No.
Well, everybody should go to...
And I bet most of our listeners don't know where to look either.
You want me to tell you what? We had some very good pro-firearm people send me emails. Penny, can you get us 18 U.S.C. 922? They had no clue where to find it. And here's what's important about 18 U.S.C. 922 is federal law or federal code, okay? And federal code is the most frustrating thing, because if you ever try to read the code, it is absolutely horrific.
Now, well, it's like reading a roadmap, because you got to go back to this point here, to that point there, and then follow this, and then this word means that, and then this subtitle over here with this subsection over here. Yes.
Absolutely. And so here's what I tell people to do, to figure out, because this law now brings in 18 U.S.C. 922, and it applies to it. And the bottom line is so that you have to know what 18 U.S.C. 922 says. In order to find anything about, quote-unquote, minors, you have to go to 18 U.S.C. 922 X3A1. And you say, wait a minute, what do I have to do again? 18 U.S.C. 922, subparagraph X, subparagraph 3, subparagraph A, subparagraph Roman numerals 1 through 3, or 1 through 2, rather. Now, if any reasonable...
I can't find it, and I'm looking at the whole title right here.
Okay, and try and read it. Actually, because what you have to do is take each one of those segments and string them into a sentence and read it. Okay, and it takes three Philadelphia lawyers to do it.
Can I just add something here? I thought this bill was supposed to make things easier, not add more words to the statutes.
Absolutely, but worse yet, do you want your New Hampshire firearm rights tied to whatever Congress is doing today?
Do I need to say Barack Obama and Eric Holder?
Yeah.
Do I need... I mean, seriously, folks, I mean, if you are afraid of those two... You should be afraid of New Hampshire adopting federal standards.
Absolutely. Why would you do that? My point is, if this law was designed to be quote-unquote constitutional carry, I call it the anti-kid shooting or anti-youth shooting act, number one. But number two, you have to go through all these things, and you talk about the term juvenile. You have to talk about what is actually going to happen. Does New Hampshire really want to do something like this? Because what this destroys is the chance of passing what's called a 10th Amendment bill. Remember all the 10th Amendment bills that people are talking about?
Oh, we're going to be talking about the 10th Amendment here on this show within the next week, yes.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you know all the 10th Amendment firearm laws, okay?
Yes, in various states. We've talked about it. I think Montana was working on one and a few others. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And some have passed them, and they're going through the federal system right now. Okay, and so if this passes, you can just take your little 10th Amendment and kiss it goodbye, because here's what you've now done. The 10th Amendment bills basically tend to, here's the basic premise of a 10th Amendment bill, is we are a sovereign state, and as long as our property doesn't pass state lines, You know, we create a firearm in New Hampshire, we stamp it made in New Hampshire, and we don't exit our borders with it. It should be made in New Hampshire, and the Fed shouldn't get to regulate it. That's that's the basic premise behind it, okay?
Right.
You are now taking a state law and saying, pertaining to firearms, saying that we want to regulate the possession of that item based on federal law. You basically take your, you're just taking shooting all 10th Amendment firearm laws with a bazooka right here.
Oh, my gosh.
Why would you? My point is,
and this prevents any state local control over said thing,
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And good luck trying to get that one back when the federal government makes a big mistake. Oh, my goodness.
Or worse yet, we've had, you know, in the past, a Democratic House and Senate here. Do you think if everyone finds out how bad this is, 2, 3, or 4 years, and we got a Democratic House and Senate, what's the chances of repealing this?
Well, there you go. Well, Penny, with that, I've got to run here. How do people find out more about this House Bill 330? Can they check this out on Go New Hampshire's website?
They have not posted. GONH hasn't done anything on this bill yet. They wait until the board meets periodically, and the board hasn't met yet. So they can go to pennydean.org and find it. They can find all the updates on legislation at GONH.org. Remember when I told you about the handy-dandy chart?
Yes.
Okay, everyone, if you go to GONH's website and you click on the left on legislation, it'll take you to what's called a Skylight or Skywatch update.
SkyDrive.
SkyDrive.
Yep.
SkyDrive update. You guys click on that. You will see every current bill, and it links everywhere. Our tech guy, Dave, is the king. I mean, it is so simple. If everyone would go to the website and click on that, they would know everything that's happening. He updates it several times a day. You can link to the world. If there's been a roll call vote on something, he tells you. You can link on that and see who voted how. It's just a fabulous, fabulous tool.
Yep, I'm looking at that right now. Well, Penny, thank you very much. How do people get in touch with you?
230-9999.
All right, very good. Thank you very much for this important lesson in trying to understand federal law. I know.
We'll just pass it now and read it later, right?
No, thank you. We've learned that one once before.
ITL this bad, bad bill. You know, it just needs to be ITL.
All right, hopefully next Tuesday when we have you back on, we'll be able to give an update of what the committee is doing on recommending this bill, either recommending that it pass or ITL or some point in between.
Yeah.
Thank you, Penny. We'll chat next Tuesday.
Thanks, you too.
All right, Bulldog Live continues on The Pulse.